I trust each adult received a sack when you came in tonight. I thought I heard a little rumbling of crackling of paper. Tonight, as you can see, the lesson is entitled Take Home a Sack Happiness. And to let you participate in this sermon, you need a sack to put some things in. So if you haven't got one, Gary's got some sacks. We're going to raise your hand real quick as we do the introduction here. We'll give you a sack. And that way you can use that as we go through the lesson this evening. I put this on the board not as an advertisement that I get some sort of kickback from Steak and Shake, but it's for more copyright type reasons I do that, because I have taken their slogan of Take Home a Sack as part of my lesson tonight. Maybe you have done that from time to time and getting supper or lunch, and you call in and get a take home a sack, or maybe you've taken something home from eating there for sure. Now they have a fax a sack for businesses where you can fax in your order ahead of time and then go in and pick that up. And so if you're so inclined, you're of course welcome to do that. Here's what we want to do tonight. In the pew in front of you, there should be a little white pad of paper. There might be, if the pad of paper's missing, use a attendance card. We don't use those attendance cards much anymore, except for our visitors. And what I'm going to do is give you some practical suggestions tonight to improve life and to have a happier life, a more enjoyable life. And so what I want you to do as these things come up on the screen is to write down the suggestion that I'm going to be making here, and then put that suggestion in your take-home sack. And so then tomorrow when you get up doing your regular morning things and all of that, my encouragement to you is to reach in and take out one of these things, and that will be your goal for the day. To take one of the suggestions that I'm going to give you and just make that part of your day tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, reach in there and pull out another one of those, and you're going to have 5 to 6 to 7 suggestions here. Goodness, how many have I got? Yeah, 7 suggestions, one for each day of the week next week. And hopefully that will be a little incentive for you to enjoy your day, to enjoy what you do, whether it be school or work or church work, whatever it might be, that you'll find some take-home-a-sack happiness in that way. All right, 7 suggestions then to cultivate happiness. And the first one that I want you to write down on the little white sheet of paper on the pad there is to learn to like yourself. Yeah, that's right. That's one of the first things I believe that you need to do to have a more enjoyable life, is to realize that God hasn't made junk. And that while you might say, yeah, but I got a lot of things there that I'm not very proud of, I understand that. But there's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot of talent and ability that God has blessed you with. He has gifted you in that way. And so I think that you should learn to like yourself each day. Now, if you want to put these scripture passages, as you see there at the bottom of the sheet, want to go through these, not quickly, but briefly, as we talk about this particular point. And that is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's a great attitude, that there's going to be a lot of tasks with your day tomorrow, and if you happen to pull this one out tomorrow and learning to like yourself, realize that you're going to be able to get the job done no matter what that job is, because God will empower you to do that job. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In Philippians 2 and verse 13, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Kindly, as we talked about this morning, that we serve a very powerful God. And Ephesians 3:20 says the power is at work within us. And Paul makes this same statement with a little slightly different wording in Philippians 2:13, that God is working within us. And so I think that would help as the attitude for life, as you go out to say, hey, I'm not by myself. God's working in me. He's going to work through me for good. And I think that will change your attitude as you go about your daily walk. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, this is one of my favorite verses in the book of Philippians. It says, Paul does, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I like that because I don't feel like I've arrived yet, that there's some things in my Christian life that I'm working on and try to mature in, and I know there's some areas of service that I could do better than what I'm doing. And so this verse points that out, that God is working, and He is beginning that good work. He's going to carry out that good work until Jesus comes again. What a great thought. God's not going to give up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Learn to like yourself. Learn to realize that you are very important. And the last one you see there is the greatest commandment. And I want to focus here on verse 39, where it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Part of the great commandment there, and the second one that is likened to it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. That you are to love yourself and realize you're a person of value. Stop being critical of yourself. Stop being overly negative about the way you talk to yourself every day. Jesus and God loved you enough to die for you, and remember that. So the first thing now that I want you to put, if you've not already done so, in your take-home sack, is this is point number one, learn to like yourself. And so if you pull that one out tomorrow, then that'll be your goal as you go through your everyday walk. Number two then here, set some realistic goals. Set some realistic goals. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, there's some things we do very well, some things we don't do so well. And you can't do it all. That's one of the great misnomers, to say, well, I'm just going to do everything. Well, that's a good way to burn out. That's a good way to get discouraged, to think you can do everything well. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to look honestly and realistically at your life and say, I'm going to set some realistic goals. And that realistic goal might mean that you're going to pray one or two more times tomorrow than you do today. Or I'm going to set time aside and really start reading my Bible. I'm going to set 10 minutes aside to read my Bible. Now you might say, well, that's pretty small stuff, but again, that's very realistic. And I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to feel success. I want you to feel like you're gaining on it and that you're growing. And so whatever it might be, look at your life, look at where you need to grow, and set a modest goal to say, I'm going to do a little bit more. Not a lot more, but a little bit more. And I think that will help you build some self-esteem. And you'll say, yes, I can grow in that. I can do this. I can increase this just a little bit, or make a phone call, write a letter, whatever it might be, and set some realistic goals. And then as you carry out those goals, that's going to make you feel better about yourself. That's going to make you feel better about your ministry and the things that you're doing. The passage that I've chosen here, as you see at the bottom of the screen, is Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. And this is where Jesus talks about those who build their life, or in this case, build their house on the rock. And with this in mind of setting modest goals, let's take a look at this very familiar passage again and let it roll through your mind in this way as you think about this particular point tonight. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." See, when you set a modest goal, a good goal, a spiritual goal, then you're going to be building on the rock. And so, again, you don't have to build the whole house. Just build part of it tomorrow in setting a good, realistic goal. "And the rain descended and the floods came." It must have been a day like today, huh? "And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock." See, that's one way to have a better life, a happier life, a solid life, is to set those realistic, attainable goals, and then as you do that, you're building on the rock, so that when things do happen that are not so nice, you'll have something to fall back on. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and great was its fall." I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to be unhappy. I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you to thinking that I can't do anything for the Lord and my life is no good. Those things are the last thing that I want you to be thinking about. And so again, set some reasonable goals in your life, daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals. But again, make them reasonable, make them attainable, and I think that will be a real big and good building block in helping you to have that happy life that you're looking for. All right, put that in your take-home sack. That's number two, if you're not already done so. And we'll take a look now at number three. Try to be optimistic. Try to be optimistic. It's all about attitude. It's all about how you look at the glass. Is it half empty or is it half full? And, of course, it's just half, you know. And it's all dependent upon your attitude, whether you see it as half full or see it half empty. And one of the things that I like to encourage on this particular point is, as you see up here on the screen, is learn to respond rather than react. I think you've probably heard me make this point before, but it fits well here, so I'm going to make it again. In that if someone were to take some medication and they reacted to it, you'd go, oh my goodness, they reacted. Are they going to be okay? Was there another medicine they could give? Could they flush it out of the system? We don't want to react to medicine. We want to respond to medicine. We want medicine to go in and to say, I feel better, and my pain is going away, and my body is healing up because it's responding to it so well. I think that's a good attitude to have in life, because there's going to be those times that the wind's blowing and the storm's coming and things happen that aren't so pretty. I want you to be able to respond to those rather than react to them. Some people react and they say things they shouldn't, they do things they shouldn't, and when the emotion settles down, they greatly regret what they've done or what they've said. It's because they've reacted. When you're trying to be optimistic and you're trying to have a good attitude about things, you're going to learn to respond to situations. And you're going to say to yourself, okay, this is not good. How are we going to remedy this? And you'll see the opportunities in that for good. And you won't look at good things and then overreact and to a point where everything's great, never going to have a problem again. Well, no, that's not a good reaction either. But responding to things good and bad truly will be very helpful. My passage again comes from the book of Philippians, as you see there at the bottom of the screen, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. This is a wonderful passage about attitude. Paul says, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, and if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. That's my idea here about being optimistic. Look at the good in life. I always get so disgusted at times with the media, newspapers, television, the whole thing, because they're always focusing on bad. It's always what is the baddest story they can come up with, and that's what leads off the news most every time. Or that's the headline in the paper, you know. What's the biggest, baddest thing out there? And yeah, I get depressed reading that kind of stuff, because here Paul says, don't let your mind dwell on that there's still a lot of good in the world. There's still a lot of good in people. There's a lot of good things happening out there. So he says, you focus and dwell on that. There's plenty of bad to go around, no doubt. But being optimistic says, I'm going to look for the good. All right, so there's point number three. Be optimistic. Try to look on the bright side. Try to see the silver lining in every cloud. And so if that's the one you pull out of your take-home sack tomorrow, then we're talking about a checkup from the neck up. We're talking about an adjustment in attitude, and that's going to help you, I believe, with some take-home sack happiness. All right, number four, on the next little sheet of paper, I want you to write, get plenty of sleep and exercise. Kind of sounds like two opposites, doesn't it? But get plenty of sleep and exercise. I don't really have a particular verse on this one, but I think it's good practical advice that whenever you're overly tired, anybody's going to get cranky. They're not going to see things in the proper light. They're going to maybe do and say things that they will later regret. And so as you plan out your day, plan somehow to get the rest you need and somehow plan to get a little exercise in. The body produces adrenaline, and adrenaline is a powerful painkiller. I've seen athletes have that adrenaline rush, and they just forget their pain for a few seconds because that adrenaline is there, and they don't feel the pain for a while. And while that knee or arm or hand or foot or whatever might be bothering them, when that adrenaline rush hits, then it's great, and the pain goes away, and they can do what they want to do. If you're overly tired and don't get the exercise and sleep you need, your body's not going to be able to produce that adrenaline. Laughter is a great medicine because laughter produces endorphins. And endorphins flood your brain and give you good thoughts, happy thoughts. And so find time to laugh every day. If that means reading the comics in the morning paper, if that means reading the Laughter Best Medicine pages out of the Reader's Digest, wherever you go to get a good laugh, do so every day. It's healthy. It will produce that adrenaline. It'll produce those endorphins. And you'll find yourself say, okay, I've got a little basis there to get through the day. So get some sleep, get some exercise. You'll be glad that you did. All right, there's number four that goes in your take-home sack. And if you pull that one out tomorrow, find time to take maybe a 10-minute nap. Find time to go take a walk. Or if you've got an exercise bike at home, get on it for 5 or 10 minutes. And get a little exercise one way or another. All right, number five here of the seven, develop some new interests and activities. Develop some new interests. Oh, back that up. Push backspace key or the up key, one of the two there, Jordan. Hit it again. What did I do? Did I forget number five? Maybe I just didn't program five in there. All right, we need a number five, whether it's up there or not, okay? Develop new interests and activities, all right? New interests and activities. Yeah, take on a new hobby. Stretch your brain in an entirely new way. Stretch your body. Maybe your new hobby is exercise. Maybe it's walking every day or whatever it might be, getting on your bicycle. I think this is a great way to blow things out. If we keep doing the same thing the same way every day, that's going to get monotonous. That's going to get boring. That's going to get to become drudgery, and we're not going to be very happy people. And so shake up your day by developing some new interests, some new activities, and so on and so forth. Honestly, I play golf, yes, one, because I'm good at it, but two, it's where I relax. Really. That's my sanctuary. And truly, I miss it in the winter months because I can go out there and truly relax. I don't care how bad or how good I play. It's just good for me to be out there. I hope you find your sanctuary someplace. I hope you find your catharsis somewhere. And that's then developing new interests and new activities that you can do. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, you want to put a verse on this one. It says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, meaning Jesus, arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Jesus got away from the crowds. He got away from his job, if you will, got away from ministry early in the morning before the crowds came about, before the day's activities were going to begin, and he found a solitary place to pray. And truly, we should do that as well in developing a new interest, a new activity. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus said to his disciples, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. That kind of pace can wear anybody out. And Jesus even realized that the pace the disciples were keeping was way too much. Didn't even have time to eat. So he says, you purposefully get away from the crowds. You purposefully find some time for yourself. And maybe that's just with everything turned off, just you know, getting in your closet and praying, or just having a quiet 15 minutes. I don't know what it is. Find something for you, that new interest, that new hobby, that new activity, and that will help you mentally to clear things out, get your mind on something else, and it will balance everything else that's going on in your life. Okay, now number six, as you put number five in your take-home sack, foster some close relationships. I think this is a wonderful key to a happy life, is close relationships. Don't try to be Superman or Superwoman. You can't do it all, so don't try. Get some help. Find a social outlet with friends, with family, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Get some relationships where you can go take that walk with somebody. Or you're going to go play golf with somebody, or you're going to play basketball with somebody, or you're going to get into a club, bridge club, or whatever it may be, with somebody else, and develop those relationships. I remember for several winters, we used to have a bowling team at the Lakeland Church in Mattoon, and we had four of us that would go over every Monday night for that bowling league, and that was a wonderful way to unwind and to develop relationships. I developed close relationships with those brothers. as we did that. It was wonderful, and I always look forward to that, because not so much the bowling. I was a lousy bowler, you know. But it was good to be out and be together. Some passages you see there at the bottom of the screen, Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. Paul says, "Therefore, and affirm together in the Lord that you will no longer walk just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's within them, because of the hardness of their heart." And the reason I bring that particular passage out with this point is I think your close relationships need to be with Christian people. Non-Christian people will pull you down. They will tempt you to do things that are wrong because they don't have a like mind. They don't have a mindset of doing things. So if you can find good Christian people that will encourage you to do the right thing and continue on in life, that's a priceless relationship. That's a good friendship that everybody needs and will help you with the day-to-day struggles of life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up." Again, Solomon understood the power of two, the power of close relationships and having good friends as we go through life. He says, if you're by yourself and you fall, there'll be nobody there to pick you up. But if you've got a good friend or two and you're having trouble, you can go to them and they're going to help you. They're going to lift you up. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Yeah, let us consider how to do that. Hopefully when you came tonight, when you get together with others, how can you be encouraged? How can I build you up? How can I keep you walking in the light as Jesus is in the light? That's the idea. And so I think we're going to have a better life, a happier life, when we have those close relationships together. All right, the last one then, as you put those six in your take-home sack, is yes, trust God. Have a greater faith, an increasing faith in God. So many times I think we are unhappy in life because we think we're in control, or we think we ought to be in control. And we have these things about it, or we got to have it this way and that way. And sometimes we have a lot of stress because we're trying to control situations over which we have no control. The fact is, that's a good definition of stress, trying to control situations over which you have no control. But yet we do that. We play that game. We all do. And it leads to frustration. It leads to depression. And life sometimes can get very ugly. But you know what? We need to remember and remind ourselves, and this might be the, who knows, the most important slip of paper you can pull out of that take-home sack, is the fact that let God have control. Let God be in control. Because you know what? He's going to do a really good job of it. You know, he's the kind of fellow that knows how to handle all the problems, and he's got the power to handle whatever happens today. And so maybe as you pull out that suggestion tomorrow, and it's this one, to say, okay, God, today is yours. I'm going to let you call the shots. I'm going to have faith in you that you're going to get me through it. And truly when you do that, then I think that's going to help you to let go, let God, and you'll have a happier, more productive day in that way. And so increase your faith with God. Increase it through Bible study. Increase it through prayer. Increase it because you're just going to turn more trust over to Him and allow Him to have His way with thee. All right, so as we list them out now, here's the seven slips of paper that you're going to pull out, one every day this week, Monday through next Sunday, and hopefully that'll give you the road of to take home a sack happiness, that truly you're going to learn to like yourself, learn to love yourself, because that's what God wants you to do. You're going to set some realistic goals. You're going to try to be optimistic. You're going to get some sleep and some exercise each day, if at all possible. You're going to develop some new interests and activities. You're going to foster some close relationships, and you're going to have an increased trust and faith in God. I think these are seven very practical, very wonderful things you can do one at a time that will help you in your daily walk. All right. Well, put that in the sack. Try to fold it up, put it in your Bible, put it in your purse, whatever it might be, and take that home, and hopefully that will be something that you can use this week and each day to help you in your daily walk with God. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus wants us to have an abundant, happy life. He is here to bless us, and we talked about all the riches that we have in Christ this morning. And so truly, we can go back to Philippians as we draw this lesson to a close, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Every time that life hands you lemons, remember, as they say, make lemonade. Rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes life is not to be rejoiced in, but the Lord is always to be rejoiced in. There's always something good there. Always something that we can hang our hat on that will help us get through the problems and difficulties of life. Rejoice in Him always. Again, I say rejoice. What a wonderful attitude for take home a sack of happiness. Well, as we offer heaven's invitation, as is our custom when we get together, there may be someone here who wants to start that life anew, that life in Christ, and have that happy, rejoicing life that we've talked about this evening. And so if you need to become a Christian, you can do that tonight. Or maybe there's one or more here that want to turn over that new leaf as a child of God and say, "Yes, I've been too much of a person who acted like they've been baptized in vinegar and weaned on a sour pickle, you know. And I want to start smiling more than frowning. And I'm ready to take some of these suggestions and other things from the Word of God and make it part of our life." If you'd like our prayers, we'll give you those prayers tonight. James has selected a song to encourage you. If you need to come, do so while we stand and while we sing.